Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. Number 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened up those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, but now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Freedom. Boy, that's what we all long for. That's what we want in life. And those who are free and have tasted that freedom, they never want to go back to bondage, to any type of enslavement, to anything or to anyone. And that's what the gospel offers us, this life of freedom. We have a freedom that in Christ Jesus that the world knows nothing about. The world tries to mimic it. Certainly we have freedom here in the United States. There are other countries that are free. Well, that's just derived from the freedom that truly belongs to God. He is the only independent one. He is the only genuinely free entity in this universe. And we can have that freedom as we come to know Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And one of the great stories in the Bible, I think one of the great stories of humanity, is the Exodus story. God setting the people of Israel free from their enslavement to Egyptian control. 400 years they lived as slaves. And I think it provides a wonderful backdrop for this gospel message that we have in Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In Christ, we see an exodus taking place, God rescuing us from sin and death. That's what the story of the Exodus is all about. And Richard, as far as, you know, Egypt is concerned, that really represents the world system, doesn't it?
I think so. I mean, it's so totally engulfed who God's people were, the Israelites. Just like our world system today engulfs us, we have to be in this system because this is where we live. But we're just as much God's people, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, completely identified with Jesus Christ, and yet here we are. We've been freed from sin and death, but we haven't been freed from this world system yet. And that's what we're waiting for. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. But we don't have to be a part of this world system.
We live in it, but we don't have to.
And I think that's the story that we see in the Exodus account,
yes,
that they were enmeshed in the Egyptian way of life. And they did everything the Egyptians did. I mean, it just became the fabric of who they were as people. And yet God had already named them as his own.
Yes.
And so he was going to rescue them from that world system. And sin and death sits atop of that world system. Everything is underneath that umbrella.
Uh-huh.
So the religious thinking, the philosophical thinking, the economic thinking, the political thinking, all of those things fall under that label of sin and death.
Yes.
And I think what God was saying to us is that when he rescues us, there's going to be a complete rescue out of sin and death. Mm-hmm. Not only the punishment of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, and those sort of things, but all of the philosophies and the human thinking that produces, that becomes very enticing to us. But yet in Christ, there can be complete freedom from this world system. We still live in this world,
yes,
but we don't have to be a part of it. We don't have to partake in it. One of the chapters in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is titled this, How to Live a Sunday Life in a Friday World. Living a Sunday Life in a Friday World. Well, Friday was when Christ was crucified. And that represents the height of the world system, of that sin and death. But Sunday was coming, and it's in that Sunday, the resurrection, that we are set free. And yet we still live in this world of darkness. And we can experience this freedom in this world of darkness as we learn to walk by faith in Jesus.
And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love for you to come in and be a part of this edition. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call at 844-322-2742. Again, toll-free across the country and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Joel, who listens in Richardson, Texas, on our new affiliate, The Word, KWRD-FM, and a question on parenting and children. It says, in light of the Supreme Court gay marriage decision, I struggle with how to address this with my children. I'm a father of five, and my older two are 11 and 13, old enough to ask questions and understand things around them. As a parent, how would you discuss a topic like this with your children?
I think that's a great question, and I think you have to just stick with what the Word of God has to say, and I think this is a great teaching opportunity for parents with their kids to be able to say, hey, here's what the United States Supreme Court said. Here's the law of the land, but we appeal to a higher authority, and that's the Word of God. So let's look and see what the Word of God has to say. And just because a government makes a decision doesn't change the nature of what the Word of God has to say. It's still truth. Marriage has always been, from the very beginning, one man, one woman, for life. And that's the way it is today as far as God is concerned. So I think it's a great opportunity just to sit down and talk about what the Word of God has to say. And to recognize that God is still in control. You know, the U.S. government is not in control. We're the most powerful nation in the world, and we certainly shape the way the world is right now, but that doesn't change the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't change what he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and that's what we are going to stand upon. So I think it's a great opportunity just to say those sort of things. Now, one of the interesting things in today's world, you know, as your kids grow up, they're going to have lots of friends that claim to be gay. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? All of our kids, and I have three, they're all, you know, graduated from high school. They're 18, they're 20, they're 22, and all of them have friends that, you know, claim to be gay or homosexual, are homosexual. So how do you handle that? How do you deal with that? Well, they're still just people. And that's what we have to recognize. They're human beings. We don't need to label them. We don't need to label people by their skin color. We don't need to label people by their sexual preference. We don't need to label somebody by their sin preference. We can just look at them as people that Christ loves, whom Christ loves, whom Christ died for, whom Christ was raised again so that they could have everlasting life. So I think in all of these conversations, we can try to elevate our children's eyes and give them a godly perspective on how to just look at the world and look at people the way that God does. And I think when we see it in those terms, none of these problems scare us. They don't necessarily shock us, but they move us inside to be more intensely involved with people in a love type relationship, not a ooey gooey fuzzy warm fuzzy type of feeling, but to really be involved in their lives in a real and life changing way.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about with this. We need to leave Egypt idea. Israel was called out of Egypt. We too are called out of Egypt. That means the fear goes away because we're no longer trying to change Egypt. I mean, trying to change Egypt is not going to happen. Trying to change our government, trying to change the world, but individual lives, because we're in relationship with them, with the love of God flowing through us, that's power. There's no fear in that love.
Yeah. So it's not change the world. It's introduce the world to something brand new in Christ.
Yes.
Introduce a new kingdom. And that's the kingdom of God that is here among us and is being lived out through the people of God as they turn to Jesus by faith.
Joel, thank you for your question. Hope this has been a help to you. Plenty of open lines, friends. We would love for you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
I want to point people to a wonderful resource. It's a documentary that's been out for
several months now.
It's called Patterns of Evidence. We're talking about the Exodus story, and certainly there's a lot of critics out there saying that didn't really happen.
Yeah, never happened.
You know, we can't find the trail. We can't find any evidence. We, it's just a story, just a made-up story, and sure, we can draw some important nuggets of truth, but, you know, the story didn't really happen. Well, there's this new documentary, Patterns of Evidence, and if you're looking for something to shore up your faith and your confidence in the fact that the Word of God is indeed true, it is authoritative, I think this might be a good documentary to look at. I think you can find it if you Google it or something like that. Patterns of Evidence. It's a look at the Exodus story.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with open lines, 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of time for your question on this edition, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Jerry, who lives in Temple, Texas, listens on our great longtime affiliate, KBBW. He says, what is the purpose of Jesus interceding for us in heaven? He goes on to say, Christ's work to secure our salvation was completed on the cross, as evidenced by his cry, "It is finished." Spiritually, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, and by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He says, I understand Satan is accusing us, pointing out our sins and frailties before God, just as he did with Job, but the accusations fall upon deaf ears in heaven because of Jesus' work on the cross that paid for our sin, debt, and full. Therefore, God always sees his children in the perfect righteousness of Jesus. So my question is, what do we need intercession from?
It's a very good question, and the passage in question here is in Hebrews chapter 7. Now, there have been many of those priests since death preventing them from continuing in office. So that's a reference to the Levitical priesthood. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood.
Yes.
As far as the Levites were concerned, they were born into that profession. At a certain time, they took up their responsibilities and they lived that out until they died. And then the next generation took up the mantle and carried it forward. But Jesus was not like those Levitical priesthood. He died and he was raised back to life and he lives forever. So he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So the question is, what is he interceding for? What is that role that he is accomplishing? He's already taken away our sins. He's already declared us to be righteous. He's already declared us to be holy. He's already declared us to be perfect in his sight. He's delivered us to the end goal. So what needs to be interceded for? What is he doing? Or is it just a reminder that his shed blood is an eternal sacrifice?
Well, I think we need to ask, what does it mean to intercede? Most of us in the religious world have grown up with the idea that the intercessor is someone who begs and pleads on my behalf so that an angry God won't cut my head off. That's not what Jesus has ever done. God is the one who initiated Jesus to us. So I think there's two ways in which he intercedes. We've been declared all these things that you just described. Those are the words of God to us. You are righteous. You are my child. You are forgiven. We have a hard time believing that. And I think Jesus is constantly interceding to us from God to convince us that it's true. That's what having the mind of Christ is all about. And because Satan always is the accuser, Satan is always the one who is bringing condemnation, not God, Jesus is the one who constantly tells Satan, go away, you're bothering me.
Yeah. Yes, yes indeed. Well, a couple of things that I think are important for us to know. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make propitiation for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That's a form of intercession.
Yes.
That's exactly what you're talking about. And that's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 down through 18. Then in Hebrews chapter 4, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mm-hmm. So that's how he intercedes on our behalf, not to offer sacrifice for sin, because that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews went on to say in this Hebrews 7 passage. Such a high priest meets our need.
Yes.
What is his intercession all about? Meeting our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins. But he is the one who was appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Yes.
So his intercession is to be there to help us in our time of need. He knows exactly what we're going through. He was tempted just as we are, yet without sin. He is empathetic to our plight. He knows what we feel. Richard, I know you've had this as you've counseled with people personally. Bob Davis, you've heard this as well. So many folks come in and they're just struggling with a problem, and you talk about, you know, their need to just turn that over to the Lord. And a lot of times you get this reply back, well, he just doesn't understand how I feel. Is that a true statement?
Yeah.
It's
of the statement. They make the statement.
They
but
make
the statement itself is completely false.
It's false because Jesus knows better than anyone exactly how we feel. I mean, we've given in to temptation. Jesus never did. So he knows the full strength of every temptation that we will ever experience. We only know certain levels of it.
Yep.
Why? Because at a certain point, we give in. Jesus, man, endured all the way. So as far as Satan was concerned, you know, he just had to use conventional warfare against us.
Yes.
But as far as Jesus was concerned, he brought out the nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And man, he exploded all of those, sent those toward Jesus, and Jesus withstood. So he knows exactly what we're feeling. So because he lives forever, he has this permanent priesthood, he can intercede on our behalf to help us in our time of need.
Years ago, we got a call from someone, and the advice was to turn that nasty stuff over to God. That's what I tried to, but he didn't want it. There you are.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, open lines, 844. I didn't think I was going to get a laugh out of that one. 844-322-2742. Time on the clock remaining, and we want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. Again, we want to extend our thanks to each of you who has partnered with us to help ensure that others hear the same basic gospel message that's made a difference in your life. And we need your help to keep the good news coming. And if you can help today as with an extra gift, why, perhaps your very first gift, if you have not joined with us before now, well, that will help tremendously. Click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742, and help make sure that this message remains on the air, changing lives by the truth of God's Word. And keep in mind also that a free copy of Bob Christopher's brand-new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is yours for a gift of $15 or more.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fort Worth and talk with Jay, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Jay. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, brothers. Thank you for your ministry. I'm going to go ahead and just lay out real quick my question or my request for your thoughts, and then I'll go ahead and hang up. But I was a youth pastor and a church planter and missionary a while back in my life, and through certain things, I fell back into a lifestyle of the world, a lifestyle that biblically I'm not proud of. Now I'm on my way back trying to live a life for the Lord, and there's struggles within that. There's struggles forgiving myself is one of the major struggles, and trying to come to the realization that, hey, Christ died for those sins, and that I so freely and knowingly committed. I feel like, heck, I was a follower of Christ, and I understood those things, and then I walked away from him. And I know he opens the door, and his arms are wide open for me, but it is a struggle. Can I have your thoughts and anything like that that could help me and others in my position? Thank you, guys.
Well, Jay, excellent yes. question, and I'd really like for you to hold on. I want to send you a copy of my new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, because a lot of the questions that you just put forth are addressed in this book. And so I would love to put that in your hands. As far as, falling into a worldly lifestyle and those sort of things, I think the reason that happens with so many people is because we approach the Christian life in the wrong way. I did that. I wanted to be God's guy. I made a vow to God in college that I would be his guy and that I would do everything in my power to make my life count for Jesus Christ. And so all I had at my disposal with that vow was human effort. It was up to me. It was on my shoulders to carry this promise out. And I wasn't very successful with that. I tried. I gave it a college try. I did everything that I knew. And when I failed, I just doubled my efforts, doubled down on reading the Bible, doubled down on praying, doubled down on, being persistent in, overcoming sin and those sort of things. And the more I tried, the worse life became for me, the more I sinned. I tell people that, I'd take one step forward and then two steps back. And pretty soon I was just backpedaling the whole time. Wasn't making any progress at all. And finally, I threw up my hands in frustration and said, Lord, the only thing that I know how to do is to sin. I do that quite well. That's the only thing that I really know how to do. And I just give up. I totally give up. And it was at that point of surrender that answers started coming to me, that it wasn't about human effort. It wasn't about me trying to be God's guy. It was resting in what Jesus had accomplished for me. So it gets down to that question, how is the Christian life really supposed to work? How are we to experience joy and peace and patience and kindness here and now? Well, there's a simple plan, and it's by grace through faith. And we have to come to a point and realize that God never intended us to live that Christian life. He intended us to trust the one who could, and his name is Jesus. So Jay, let me do this. We're about out of time. Let me put you on hold. Let me get some information, and we'll send this book to you. Our compliments, okay, my friend? And then we would we'd love to get to know you personally, since we're right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Let's connect, okay?
Okay.
You hang on.
Just about out of time, friends. A quick reminder, Bob, you mentioned at lunch today that we've sent out almost 1,000 copies of the new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. That's pretty encouraging. Many people have taken advantage of the opportunity to make that donation of $15 or more and request their free copy. And if you have not done that, we encourage you to do that as well. You can do that right now by going online to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page at on that website, or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. And you too can get your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. We're very excited about it. It's Bob's first Harvest House book, and we look forward to more in the future as well. Also, if you would like to get multiple copies of the book, you can do that by going to our book site. That's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We're simply out of time. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.